Today's gospel is from Matthew chapter 10, beginning with the second half of verse 8, found on page 822 in your Bible. Freely you have received, freely give, Jesus says to the missionaries. Do not let any gold or silver or copper, do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts, no bag for your journey, no extra shirt or sandals or staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter their home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest upon it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. And I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You'll be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by everyone because of me. But the one who stands firm in the end will be saved. When you're persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? Do not be afraid of them. For there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. The Gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to be a little halfway through my sermon going through this document. Did everyone get a chance to get this when they came in? If you didn't get one, maybe the ushers could help. If you didn't get one, you could raise your hand and we'll bring you one. But it looks like, okay, there's one here, one couple in the front. But we're not going to look at that yet, so just set it aside, please. And now come back, focus, right here, focus. All right, so just keep your hand raised and they'll bring you one of those documents. All right. I hate losing things. I don't know if you do, but I hate it. We took this beautiful family photo Christmas ago with near Saguaro Lake, and our whole family was there. We have three sons and their wives, and two of our grandchildren at the time. Now we have four grandchildren, and it was a great picture, and it turned out great. But we got home after taking the picture. Chris noticed that she's missing one of her earrings. Now I'm sure all you ladies out there go, that is so bothersome. I hate that. It's like I can't wear just one earring. And we checked the car. We checked the house. We checked everywhere we could. And we realized we must have lost it in the desert because here we were in the middle of the desert. And we kind of forgot about it. But about 6 months later, we were driving by that very spot. And one thing we noticed is that the pictures we took before the family pictures, she had her earring on. But then in the family pictures, she didn't have the earring on. So we knew kind of where it might have been lost. And we went back, we parked our car, we walked over there and looked around, you know, where we were. Oh, we did this little thing here, and it's like, oh, there it is. The lost was found. Now, earrings or a glove or a sock or, you know, a shoe, it just is dang annoying to lose one of those because you can't do it without the pair. And I do hate losing things. But we've talked about some pretty trivial items. Earrings, gloves. You can replace those easy enough. But how about losing a person? Not just physically, like misplacing them in a crowd or getting separated at a concert or something. I'm talking about spiritually. Jesus says in Matthew 16:24-26, when he's talking to his disciples, he says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" You know, our hearts can beat. We can take breath in our lungs. And that shows you medically that you're alive. But Jesus states another reality. A whole life is a life of faith in Jesus Christ. That's when we become whole in God. Which makes us think about some kind of deeper questions. What are you striving for? What will last eternally, not just temporarily, after our life on earth is over? Jesus stated his mission in terms of lost and found. He talks about people being lost even. Remember the story of Zacchaeus, the wee little man, in Luke 19? Where Jesus is walking on the road and this man is up in a tree looking for him, and he finds out or knows his name. He says, "What are you doing up there, Zacchaeus? Come on down. I'm going to go to your house today." And at the home, he is fed and there's a celebration and other people are there invited. And this man then says, who was very small in stature, we understand, but also shriveled in his soul, became alive in faith as he encountered Jesus. Jesus was there at his house with all the disciples, and the people, the Pharisees and those watching Jesus, said, "Why would he go and eat with this tax collector and sinner? What's wrong with Jesus?" To which Jesus says, today, after Zacchaeus says, "I'm going to give everything back that I've ever defrauded anyone. I'm going to pay them back even four times more, and I'm giving half of my possessions away to the poor." And Jesus says about Zacchaeus, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Lost and found. Jesus told parables about lost things, especially chapter 15 of Luke, where he talks about the lost sheep. That's what I have the picture of here. The wandering off sheep that gets lost, but the shepherd who finds the lost sheep and carries the sheep back on his shoulders. A lost coin is spoken of, and the coin that was lost is found. And finally, the very powerful parable of the prodigal son, or the lost son, and the loving father. And with each of those parables, it ends with this, that the lost thing was found, and how much more will there be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. Lost and found. We've been spending these last 3 weeks in this series, Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World, to realize that we're part of Christ's team. It's interesting that I planned this series a long time ago. I don't really even remember if I knew that the Englishes were coming this particular Sunday or what the gospel lesson would be, but it certainly is apropos that here we are sitting in a new sanctuary with carpet. The lost is found. The missionaries are here. And God's Spirit is alive. I'm amazed at times how God's Spirit works even without our knowing or being aware of it. Jesus said in Matthew 5 that we are salt of the earth and we are light of the world. And I've spoken about that we are team redemption, team healing, and team light. Because Jesus says, as he was quoted in the Chosen, explaining his statement, that salt enhances the flavor of things. I want my followers to renew the world and be part of its redemption. That was the first week, 3 weeks ago. Second, salt can be mixed with honey and rubbed on skin for maladies. I want my people to participate in the healing of the world, not its destruction. Team healing. And finally, salt preserves meat from corruption. It slows its decay. I want my followers to be people who hold back the evil of the world, or being team light. Today, we're team lost and found. As I played the John Fogerty tune before, put me in, coach, I'm ready to play. Because he involves all of us in his mission, in his ministry. He is the greatest coach, and we are members of the team. We are his mission team. For as he said, the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. We are team lost and found. And we see these themes of lost and found throughout the Bible, even in today's readings. I'm not going to go deeply into those, but the first half of Jeremiah's complaint was him saying, you let me down, Lord. I came to do your work, and I'm not seeing it. In fact, I'm getting the brunt of what they're thinking about you. He said, his word in my heart is like a fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it. I cannot bear it. He says, many are whispering terror on every side. Denounce him. Let's denounce him. That's being lost for Jeremiah. But then he remembers the Lord. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. That's being found. Jeremiah, and that happens to all of us. We're lost. At times we feel forsaken, we feel abandoned, and then the Lord finds us again. In the gospel, when Jesus sent out his disciples two by two, with very specific instructions, take nothing with you, go where you're received. If they don't receive your message, shake the dust off your feet and leave that town and that house. To that, he's saying those who will not receive the message of Jesus are lost. But then, at the end of that passage, when he talks about that they will have the words to say when they're persecuted, when they're brought before the magistrates, when they will know what to do, and that it says, even the very hairs on your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. Now, to all the guys that don't have a lot of hair, don't worry about that. He knows the hairs on your head, at least the ones that were there, if that's the case. Someone's always said that for a bald man would say, I've outgrown my hair. But that's such a comfort of being found, that God knows all about us, knows even the hairs on our head. And so we join Christ's mission team. We are team lost and found. So not only today did we get a new carpet, I'm going to reveal this very important, if you take this out now, and significant work that has been done over the past 9 months with our strategic planning team and our council. And Lynn Ruby did the graphics and design. Their names are on the very back of this, who was the people that helped create this, our strategic planning team and our council and Lynn. And this document is a values document. So it is to share what we at Shepherd of the Hills value. And that's the title back on the front page, the values that inform who we are and how we do the Jesus truth in the Jesus way to live the Jesus life. So on the front page there, and this copy is, we won't cover it today all, but actually next week I'm going to start a sermon series on the aspirational values But this is for you to take home, to read through and start to digest. It'll be a really important document for new members that want to join our church, but also for all of us to know what it is, who we are, what makes us tick, and what makes it work. You shouldn't read it and go, wow, that's a surprise. You should read it and go, yeah, that actually does describe who we are. That's the point of this. So if you look at the front page again, the cover, it has our mission. Let's read it together. It's in the blue box. The mission is what? To know Christ and to make him known. That's why we can say we're Team Lost and Found, because that's his mission, to be known and to let other people know about him. You know the great hymn, Amazing Grace, that says, I once was lost and now I'm found. That's true for each and every one of us. And that's what's called the good news. We're received by faith. Our sins are forgiven. We have eternal life through Christ. And we can't keep that good news to ourselves. We have to tell others. That's what it says, to make him known. We want to tell others. We can't keep it to ourselves. Martin Luther said that we are like one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. That's how our attitude needs to be. And then what we do, let's read that together on the front page. Shepherd of the Hills spurs a connection to life in Christ with spunk and grit. We have been a unique image of God. We are here. And if you turn to page 6 in your document, and please try to stay with me and not flip through it while we're talking so we can just talk at the pages I'm talking about here. This page describes how we came up with our logo and what our logo means at the front. But then at the bottom, it describes this statement of spurring a connection to life in Christ, which means that, and with spunk and grit. So at the bottom of that sentence, it says, we make one another better and stronger by gathering together and encouraging one another to follow Jesus Christ. That's why we want to spur a connection to life in Christ, because it matters that we gather. And I know sometimes we are isolated or we watch online. Hello, everybody watching online. That's great. And it's still a connection. But there's something really powerful that happens when we're here in the room together, when we can rub shoulders with one another, shake each other's hands, give a hug. It encourages us as we gather together. And then we are people with spunk and grit. I like what this says here. God makes us all unique, made in the image of God, says Genesis 1:27. The people of Shepherd of the Hills have a spirit about them. I think when I moved to Arizona, I lived in Minnesota before, but I lived in Montana before Arizona. And Montana people are pioneering people. They are settlers. They've gone out, they're trappers, they're loggers, they're people that have tried to find their life. And in Minnesota, we got third, fourth, fifth generation farmers, and they are pretty much stuck in the way they're going to do things. They're not going to change it at all, and don't even try, and never say anything bad about another person because you're probably talking to one of their relatives. Just saying. But I would say they're more settlers. And then moving to Arizona, because pretty much almost everybody except for a couple people in this room were not born here. They were born somewhere else, and they moved here. And that really is this attitude of a spirit. It's a pioneering spirit to come here even thinking about the early Arizona settlers and how they had to endure such hardship with the heat and lack of water and the cactus and the spines and the animals. It takes a lot. It's spunk and grit. So we say life is precious. We desire to live life to the fullest, to tap into the abundant life that Jesus offers. Spunk is a hopeful attitude, trusting that God works all things for the good, Romans 8:28. And grit is determination and steadfastness. At Shepherd of the Hills, it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to say no. It's okay to have fun. So that's who we are. Now flip back, if you would, to page 2 and 3. Which is the second pages, and these are our foundational values. Foundational values are the final authorities of what we stand upon. So these values would be similar to other Christian churches, other Lutheran churches, maybe not exactly the same, But these pages describe who we are and how we operate as a body of Christ. These pages flesh out our mission to know Christ and to make him known. So what does it mean? Well, we stand firm and united in faith. That's the first box. I'm not going to read through all these. You can read it on your own. But it means that we're united in faith in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we strive to live our lives devoted to Christ. And the next box, we place God's word as our final authority in matters of faith and life. Also, we live to protect the unity of our church, the third box, by acting in love, refusing to gossip, and following and praying for our leaders as they follow Christ. Turn the page to the next one, responsibility. We're not just passive participants. As being a part of Shepherd of the Hills, we're actually to be an active participant, that you realize that the mission only goes as far as you, and that you're to take that out. But we're responsible to the mission of the church. And that means that we are to be salt and light, like we've been talking about these last 3 weeks. We serve, that's the fifth box, and that Jesus' great encouragement that the greatest among you would be the servant of all. We value a servant's heart here at Shepherd of the Hills. And finally, we support the testimony of our church through our involvement, our contributions, and our life. At the bottom of that, it says, Soli Deo Gloria, or to God alone be the glory. When the strategic planning team met to really craft all of these words and put these things together, we were humbled by the way that God had worked in our midst. And we said nothing else except to God alone be the glory. To be a part of God's church, a part of his mission, that's because he exists, that's why the church exists. And we're just grateful to be a part of that. Now turn to the next page, if you would. This is our core values. Core values are supposed to be pretty unique to our organization, to our church. Core values are, we had to narrow down like 15 statements to these four statements to make them memorable and specific. And so just we'll be talking about these later this fall more specifically, but for now, just know this is like the DNA of our community. This is what makes us up. First, that we're Christ-centered. We exist to grow Christ's kingdom in our lives and in his world. So that's, you're always going to find Jesus here at Shepherd of the Hills. Second, we glorify God. We have a wonderful music, and we talked about how beautiful our music and our worship is, but our worship has a sacred style. So even our contemporary worship, it's not super, thrown together or informal. It's sacred. We realize that God is present in our midst. And so whether we sing hymns or contemporary songs, it's sacred. And we invite people's participation. It's not a concert or a show. It's to be involved in worship. It's participatory. And it's musical, as you can see. And I'm glad you're back, Dan. Drums were missed while you're gone. But it's great to have our music teams and our choir and our organist and music minister Matthew and our bell choir. All those things make our worship glorify God. Next, we grace it up. This is a fun one. We live because God forgave us. And because of that joy, that spills over into everything we do, whether at the grocery store or at church or walking down the street or anywhere, in our workplace or a school, we grace it up. That's what we hope to be. And also, life is better connected. That's really important, I think, in this world where so many people are so only connected to a screen or connected to a very small group of people, that we want to connect you with people here at our church, you with the world. And that's why having the Englishes here today is makes us connected to you. Because we, although you're over in Africa, we know what you're doing. And that's a beautiful thing to be connected. The next page, which I'll be spending some time with the next few weeks, is our values, our aspirational values. So this is what we hope to be. Maybe not fully realized yet. They're not fully realized yet. But this is a place where we want to have people experience good, get to be the living church, and become active witnesses. And that's being salt and light, which is referred to at the scripture at the bottom of that page. Because Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth, and you're the light of the world. We're to be a light on a hill. And that is beautiful that we're on a hill, in Shepherd of the Hill, in Fountain Hills. We're Shepherd of the Hills. And that's to shine Christ's light over this region. By entering also Romans 5, which was read this morning, really shows that we are what it means to be found in Christ, because we are team lost and found. And I want to conclude with reading this in a little different way. Romans 5, through the Message translation, I like at times how Eugene Peterson has translated or paraphrased the Bible in a way that kind of sounds fresh and makes us think about it in a little different light. And so I want to conclude today thinking about, what does this mean for you to be found? I think it means this. I'll turn this on. Let's read together. By entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with Him, make us fit for Him, we have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And then it goes on and says, and that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that He has already opened His door to us. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our prayers. To be found, well, you need to be lost to be found. I think all of us in our own stories would say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. And we pray that your time, as you're participating in the ministry of Shepherd of the Hills, is a time that's a good time in your life. It's a place, time when you can experience good, experience God, experience connection, experience love, and become an active witness. Let us pray together. Lord, every journey begins with a beginning, and our beginning is with you, Lord Jesus. As we think about the lost or those that haven't yet heard the message, help us to invite them to embrace the mystery of faith. And then to those who are found or believers, we pray that we could be people who strengthen them in their faith. Lord, give us compassion for the lost and encourage, which really means encourage, to be of new courage to the found. Now, if you would just kind of gently place your hand on your head, and I'm going to pray this prayer about our minds. Holy Spirit, ignite in me your fire in my mind, that I might love you more. Stretch my thinking, stimulate my intellect, inspire me with a renewed love of learning. And now place your hand on your heart. Holy Spirit, ignite in me your fire, so that I might truly love the lost. Renew my passion for your gospel and my compassion for those who haven't yet embraced the mystery of faith. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit, and thank you for the good ways that you love us, lead us, forgive us, help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.